The Hello Careers podcast explores a system developed to align business needs with education and training. It's proven to be invaluable for dozens of businesses and people looking to create a new life for themselves. We are firm believers that you must screen for attitude and train for aptitude. We're unpacking our insight to help you build partnerships and earn public support for an age-old way of learning a skill, apprenticeship. We'll address issues such as, where there's a skills gap, is there an education and training gap? How do you respond to a tight labor market? What happens when the major employer pulls out of your community? If you're looking to create an apprenticeship program or curious about what to do next, this show could be just the thing you've been looking for. I'm your host, Mark Sylvester. Now, let's get started and talk with the team. Well, welcome to the show. I'm thrilled to introduce Michael Specchierla and Dan Weeks, and you guys are going to take us on a journey. Michael, why don't you just tell us, introduce yourself to the audience and what brings you to the table today?
I'm Michael Specchierla. I'm the Director of Career and College Pathways in San Luis Obispo, working for the County Office of Education. And then I'm also the Executive Director of SLO Partners, which is a consortium of the local school districts, the community college, Cal Poly University, as well as Workforce Development Board and a number of businesses. We're really trying to align the education and training pipeline with what the business needs are.
And Dan?
So Dan Weeks. My background is in tech firms, entrepreneur. I'm the entrepreneur in residence for Cal Poly's new business incubator. And I work for the County Office of Education in programs to enable people to get jobs in tech without having to get a four-year degree in tech.
So it's interesting, we've got a leading educator and a leading business guy, an entrepreneur, and why are you both at the table? Why is that so important to this project?
Well, you know, a lot of new programs are initiated in education through grants, and if you only look at a grant as one-time money, you're only getting a one-time shot in the arm. So you really need to look at it as education startup funding. And so that's where my relationship with Dan Weeks has come in, that as an entrepreneur, he's helping to guide these investments where they aren't just one-time investments, but they're sustainable and they really create value out of those investments in the public.
How long has SLO Partners been around?
SLO Partners is in year three. It was started through a grant called the California Career Pathways Trust Grant. Daryl Steinberg, before he left office at the depths of the recession, initiated a grant by the legislature to really align workforce development boards, community colleges, K-12 school districts, and business to really be able to work together regionally through consortiums to align education and training with business. This really came out of the depths of the recession where whole industries and sectors were wiped out and there was no real way to retrain, retool for new and emerging markets.
So it must feel particularly gratifying to you right now to see the seed that you planted 3 years ago now show up in this show. And the purpose of this show is to teach other groups around the country how to do what you have done. You've blazed this trail. You're kind of a Sherpa. You'll be the Sherpa for us in these episodes to help others who want to do what you've done. So why don't you tell us a little bit in a more broader context what this concept is about and how we're going to spend our next eight shows together?
Well, at its heart, this is about using apprenticeship combined with entrepreneurism so that both employers and employees really benefit from that relationship. You know, you get better business intelligence for emerging sectors where there's labor and skill gaps by combining an apprenticeship model where it's learn and earn. It's not just vocational training, but it actually has a work experience component to it, along with building a relationship with a business so that you stay better informed about what are the emerging skills and knowledge that are needed in these up-and-coming markets.
And we're going to get into, I love the word that you said, emerging skills, because it feels like so many industries are being transformed right now, and the workforce needs are really changing right now. I think it's, we should also say where we are right now, right? We're in a high school that has got a state-of-the-art audio facility that was fueled with some of these funds. Is that right?
Yeah, this is one of the investments that the California Career Pathways Trust Grant, as well as the Career Technical Education Incentive Grant, was able to make possible. These students actually helped install the floor, the soundproofing. They're learning how to use all the equipment, the audio production equipment. That's a really important communication skill that
Absolutely.
I think any student growing up can apply to any sector they think they'd like to go into.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're going to do is over the next eight shows, and so we want someone to start with this one and then read, because we've got a narrative we've built into that. We're going to teach them exactly how to put in one of these programs, how to build it, how you build partnerships, what kind of outcomes you would want, what the value of this is, because as you're trying to build community support for what you're doing, you have to understand the value to the community, the value to the business, the value to the workforce, the value to the schools, right? There's a big value conversation that has to happen, a realistic outcome conversation, like what are the things we could expect to have in what periods of time. I like the way you said it's this one-time money that we've got to make last. So what we're doing is we're helping create an ecosystem where careers are launched, right?
Definitely.
Right.
So to make an investment, you want to have created value out of that.
So we know what the show is about, because this is really going to be a lot of nuts and bolts, right? We're just like how we do that. And listener, know that back on the website, on the Hello Careers website, we'll have guides. There'll be material. There'll be things that you can download that are going to help you through all of this. But we'll start with this conversation for sure. So Dan, who should be listening to the show?
I think our ideal audience is anyone who really wants to build a career pipeline for local employers. I think there's a large number of employers who have openings and can't find people who are qualified, both from their soft skills and their hard skills, for the openings. And really what we do with apprenticeship is we work on both. We screen for attitude to get the soft skills, and then we train for aptitude. And we do that typically through industry standard certifications.
So in talking to you guys and trying to unpack all of this, a key part of this was the certification bit, wasn't it? So we're going to get into
Yes.
depth in how that works and the kind of partnerships you need to make to get that piece.
I think the key for certifications is certifications are automatically updated as the market changes, and new certifications become relevant to employers on an ongoing basis. You know, the reason we need this entrepreneurial mindset here is a year from now, we might have our first group in a new area that 2 years ago wasn't even a hot
right.
area.
Right.
It's a moving target, but with apprenticeship, you don't need to wait for an academic senate to approve a new major. It's very closely tied to these are orders we have from local employers. How do we provide relevant curriculum on very short notice that directly addresses the employer's needs?
And I think when you talk about certifications, there can be a paper certification or a national or international certification, but there can also be a local certification in that a group of employers mm-hmm. or even one employer have said, this is what really are the skills and
right.
training we need, and we certify that this is legit. So there's a lot of different flavors of what certification can look like, local,
and
regional, national.
And that happens pretty quickly, too. It's not 2 years to get this. It's 12 weeks, 14 weeks in some cases.
It depends on where you're entering into that job set.
So I love the immediacy of this. This is not a long-term thing. It's like we can figure this out quickly.
I think the way I look at it is you don't want to be a factory that once the factory's up to speed, it keeps putting out the same output independent of orders.
Mm.
What we really want to be is a factory that ramps up almost like a pop-up university based on employer requirements. And then we look at, for our next cohort, where's the highest need? But we don't have a fixed infrastructure that's required to say, now that we've invested in this curriculum, we need to keep doing it for 10 years.
I'm going to keep that picture of pop-up university in my mind. That's a real good one. Thank you for that, because it's responsive to as things are changing.
Yeah, it's all about the employers. It's not about anything other than the employer saying, I've got a career path. Can you get me people that would be a great fit for this career?
So the person who's listening to the show is someone who has gotten a grant already to do this, and now they're looking to this show to help figure out how to navigate, or someone who's thinking about getting a grant. They may have heard about this show at a conference and said, oh, that sounds like exactly what we need to do. How do we go into that? So we'll talk about that as well. And who else should be listening to this show?
I think people from workforce development boards who are doing work with businesses, whether it be rapid recovery work or job developers that are trying to build relationships with their business community, people at community colleges, people at universities, people in high school who are trying to develop pathways and pipelines that are responsive to their local communities.
Career counselors?
Yes, career counselors. They're very important in helping to steer students towards good opportunities and get them exposure to things that they may not be aware of.
And the reason I ask that is listener, if you're looking around to the people you work with, think about those in your ecosystem that have any of those job titles. Tell them about the show, right? So they can start listening and you can start building your own cohort of co-conspirators, if you will, to implement one of these programs. Now, Michael, when we first talked, you were telling me about how you studied other systems, other people had done this. As we know, success leaves clues. And you told me a story about Switzerland and one about South Carolina. Why don't you tell our listener about that?
So I've been a career technical education teacher for many years. I've taught computer science. I've taught digital media. I've also been a English, history, and library science teacher. So I've always wanted to make sure that whatever we're teaching in a classroom has context and a relationship with the community. So I've always been open to having business people and other professionals really help guide the curriculum in my classroom. And with career technical education pathways, you're required to have an advisory board to help influence your curriculum. And those are really dependent upon what kind of relationships you can build between your teachers, students, and the business. And it's a hard ask for a business to be part of an advisory committee, because they're not really getting anything immediate out of that relationship. And so it often we sort of joke that it's a milk and cookies kind of a conversation, that the business comes, you show them your curriculum, you show them a project, they have a cookie, they tell you it's nice, the cookie's nice, your curriculum's nice, and we meet again in maybe a year or maybe in 6 months. So apprenticeship offered a totally different opportunity for the business, because now there's something actually in it for them, that they have influence over the curriculum and they're going to get an employee out of it. So there's a job at stake and there's an employee that is a prospect. And in looking at a couple of different models, South Carolina has really done a great job of doing a whole statewide initiative in apprenticeship. And when I talked to my counterparts in South Carolina, I said, so does the apprenticeship model go further than the advisory model? And universally, all of them said, oh yes, the businesses now are really at the table. They realize there's a return on investment for them, and they realize it's worth their time to be spending time with you to develop these apprenticeships. And really, I've gotten, over the past year and a half working with apprenticeship, I've gotten more business intelligence about what exactly are the skills needed to be successful in various industries than I had over 20 years as a teacher engaging businesses.
That's unexpected, I guess. You're surprised by that.
I didn't know how effective it would be. You know, when somebody says, oh yeah, it's really good, businesses are at the table, you go, okay, that's worth a shot. But just the amount of information that we've been able to get out of employers, how their willingness to talk to us about really what are the skills. Because it used to be, we'd hear, oh, they need strong soft skills. Oh yeah, that a little bit of JavaScript would be great to have. Or, oh, yeah, they should know a little bit about digital. very cursory, nothing in depth really of what would really be the skills needed. Nothing to the degree of what we found out through our apprenticeship model.
Now, how is Switzerland the same or different?
Switzerland is even more advanced. Over the last 10 years, they've really made a lot of changes in how they run apprenticeship, and the results of that have been just very impressive. They have one of the lowest rates of youth unemployment in the world, and their businesses, over 40% of the businesses in Switzerland participate in some type of an apprenticeship.
40%?
Yes. And it's a great relationship between the government, who issue the curriculum, and the businesses, which offer the work-based learning, and the students, who have multiple entries and exits into vocational education or baccalaureate education starting at age 14. And you see just the majority of the students, or excuse me, the majority of the management actually come up through the vocational education training rather than just the baccalaureate training. There's a ratio that a lot of economists have thrown out there that it's, you need one higher education degree, like a PhD or a master's, to every two bachelor's degree, but then you need about seven technical degrees, which could be associate's degrees. That's really what the ratio of the labor market has been for the last 50 years, and they think will still be the relationship, that ratio for the next 50 years. And when you look at the labor market in Switzerland, it follows that exact model, that 60 to 70% of the population go through vocational education training, and only 30 to 40% are going through the baccalaureate route.
So the numbers add up, and we studied you studied international, and then you studied national. Now, locally, though, there was something that happened here that made it critically important to the economic vitality of this region. Now, we said quickly at the very beginning, SLO partners. I think our listener, maybe back east, doesn't know what SLO is. So what's SLO?
SLO is the term that we call San Luis Obispo, that when you look at the initials SLO, people will call it SLO County. So,
and we're located in Central California near the coast. We're, you know, right now we're probably half a mile or so from the water. It's very beautiful here. It's just untamed beauty. However, something happened that's going to affect this region economically. Dan, what happened?
So the largest employer in the county is the utility company, Pacific Gas and Electric, and the only remaining nuclear power plant in California is going to be shutting down in 7 years. When it does, it'll have $1 billion a year of impact to our county.
That's significant. I mean, I don't know what the county budget is.
Well, the county's only 250,000 people.
Right. Right. So that's a disproportionate amount of money, right?
Massive.
So how long ago was this? Did this come on the radar, and did it come on your radar? And when you said, hold it, this is a potential solution, part of the solution, not the, of course, we're not going to do $1 billion in apprenticeship, but it's part of the solution. Tell me how that conversation started.
That just happened to coincide with some of the grants that were coming out, like this California Apprenticeship Initiative to develop new and innovative apprenticeship programs. And it really helped frame the context. I remember sitting at an EVC meeting, that's our local Economic Vitality Corporation, and the announcement had just been made that week, and around the table, business leaders all had their jaws dropped, that they really were understanding just how much of an impact this was going to have. And it was just a couple of months prior, they had launched a dashboard of the SLO EVC had, and it identified all the six major sectors of our economy. And energy, power, and utility was one separate sector. And what was unique about the graphic that we had for that one sector was it had the lowest number of employees, 1,200, but the highest average salary, $150,000. Mm. Nuclear engineers
sure
make a lot of money.
Yeah, they do.
And so when everyone said that sector is going away, all the other sectors were wondering, can we make up that gap? Is there another emerging sector that's going to come out? How are we going to work our way out of this problem? And we need to start now.
And so you looked at technology companies.
Yeah, I think what we did, it's we know from entrepreneurship, if you can set a clear goal that's future-looking, people rally behind it. You know, change needs to be important and urgent. So what we've done in terms of our work on apprenticeship is we've stated we want 1,000 additional people in tech before Diablo Canyon, our nuclear power plant, closes in 7 years. So everyone knows there's a number. It's 1,000, and it's in 7 years. You know, a lot of startups make the mistake is we're going to work hard at this area or that area. But when you have a number, you're accountable, and everyone says, I want to help you with that.
So you've done, I'm just trying to do the math in my head. Is 1,000 enough to fill that hole?
It's not. See, what we're looking at is to have 1,000 additional in tech before the Diablo Canyon people
right.
even free up.
Right, right.
And so that's the difference. We're not saying we're going to start retraining the 1,500 now Diablo employees for something else. We're going to have a pipeline. We're going to diversify the economy before Diablo closes.
I think there's, if I'm not mistaken, part of the challenge of recruiting companies here is where's the workforce? And you're suggesting the workforce is here. We just not train. There's a skills gap, if you will, or a misalignment with what those businesses need and what you have to provide. And we are fixing that.
Yes. So if you look at Amazon, Amazon's in San Luis Obispo. They started in San Luis Obispo because they bought a small software startup. But then they realized there's great people from Cal Poly here. So now Amazon, what they're doing in San Luis Obispo really isn't tied to what that startup was. But because they got great, loyal workforce that's highly trained and wants to stay here, they just continue to grow. And I think that's the idea for a lot of tech firms. If you can give them the people they need, they will grow faster, and then they'll hire more. You're getting the flywheel spinning because you're giving them what they need to grow their business.
So we understand what the big problem was that needed to be solved here locally. And how was it that you add this entrepreneurial mindset to solving the problem? So we have an educational opportunity, but it's an entrepreneurial mindset that makes it happen. Dan, how did you get pulled into this vortex?
So I knew Michael when he was a teacher at New Tech High School. It's very entrepreneurial at New Tech High School. And then I heard from one of the local business leaders that there was a grant to do apprenticeship. And I didn't really understand apprenticeship in a tech area. So I talked with Michael because I knew him from before. And then once I heard what it was and I heard that it was funded, and then I saw Michael had an entrepreneurial mindset that we don't want to just go through the motions. We want to change the world.
Right.
I said, well, let's do it. And I think the key in entrepreneurship is you start with customer discovery. You don't look in the mirror and said, customers are going to love this. Let's sell it. You really have to listen. So I used my title as the entrepreneur in residence for Cal Poly's new business incubator, and people would talk with me. I didn't do any surveys through email. I just talked with them. And about 40 minutes into it, the employers would say, well, this is what really keeps me up at night. And then when you get that kind of intelligence, because initially they want to make sure that you're not just a government program here to help. That's the last thing they want.
Right.
They really want to say, you're going to help me grow my business and get people who never could have even applied to my openings.
Right.
But it took time. And now with the apprenticeship that we have, every single one of the people we placed, and we've placed 27 across 18 companies, none of them were openings that were on the system. They were all strategic investments by employers to give them a competitive advantage because we took the risk out of the system for them. And now they're just bragging about these amazing people, and they want more.
It's interesting how that mindset, that startup mindset, has been a key to the success of the whole program. Is this one of the things about starting a new business is you have competitors, right? And is this competition for existing programs, or is this a value added? This is a yes and rather than a either or.
It should be viewed as a yes and, because I do think this is complementary, but depending on your position, you may see it as competition. We have a strong relationship with our local community college, and we got a lot of really strong superstars out of their computer networking program that really excelled through our boot camp approach. The difference between the community college, what their pathway and training was compared to ours, is we had the connection to the certifications as well as the direct connection to the job. And so when we asked the apprentices, we said, so does this compete? Does this conflict with, is this complementary to what you learned at Cuesta? And every one of them said, oh no, this was perfect. This was complementary and really an add-on to what we learned at Cuesta. That we went broad and deep at Cuesta, and here we went fast in a boot camp approach, and it really got me to where I knew exactly what I needed to have for this job, and you connected me with a job so I could be successful.
So as you're building these partnerships, and I love the name for the parent organization, Slow Partners, right? It's just right, the brand is right in the name, right? The mission. How does someone go and start building partnerships? I'm guessing you figure out who are all the people you have to partner with, right? So did you like start with a map of all the people you had to go talk to make this work? You guys are laughing. Like, there must have been something.
So my approach as an entrepreneur was kind of doing it as a data scientist, which I am. I started by reverse engineering in LinkedIn every employer in our county who had at least one IT or one computer scientist. And then I came up with 175 companies. What's interesting, if you look at the data that the workforce development boards have and so on, they look more at what's the single code for the company, but there's tech everywhere. So our approach was we reverse engineered where the people are, and then I prioritized how many total IT and software people were on the list, and then I started from the top and went down, and I stopped at 23 out of the 175.
And that was enough to do what we would in software company called market validation.
Yeah, well, our grant is for 50 people in two cohorts. We got more than half in our first cohort already.
Just like that.
So an important thing to recognize with this is if you looked at the official like Employment Development Department labor market data, it would actually show that our tech industry in San Luis Obispo is on the decline. And if I had used that data to inform my choices, I would never even pursued the grant. What made me pursue the grant and feel like there were enough tech companies that this would be attractive were my existing connections to people like Dan Weeks and computer science companies working within here as a high school teacher, and an entrepreneurial gut instinct that said this will be attractive. The local community college, rightly so, based upon the numbers that they were seeing and their labor market data, they walked away from this grant. They didn't think it was possible. The dean of workforce development joked with me of a great relationship that he said, hey, good luck with that. If it works, come back and I'll be willing to work with you, but you take all the risk on this. So it was our willingness to take that risk, but that's also a reflection upon the County Office of Education and Superintendent-elect Brescia of his willingness to take on that risk to explore something new.
Is it fair to say, though, that those are lagging indicators, not leading indicators?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're lagging indicators. And if we've already established this is extremely dynamic, extremely fluid, extremely responsive. Everything about this is about being agile, right? Back to, you know, how we run our software teams is through agile development, right? And so what you're suggesting is that the way you went out and talked to businesses, what are your problems today? Not what was the problem 3 years ago when you filled out a survey, right?
No, I think that's really true, because even within software testing, for example, when I was with HP, I had all the testers for our inkjet printers working for me, and it was a career that most people never thought about. But if you have four software developers, someone better be testing it. But if you look at the data about software testing as a career, it doesn't look like a huge career. But if you actually talk with companies and they hear they can get certified software testers who love to test, you know, you put a computer science major in software testing, they think it's a penalty box. But you get someone who it's a career. And then when I talk with software companies, they say, well, how many can I have?
Right, right.
But it's looking at it. I didn't look at someone else's data to say we need more software testers. I just knew it.
So as we come to the end of our first episode, we've identified what the program is, who should be listening, and because I want to make sure someone's listened all the way to the end and they go, yep, this is exactly the right show for us. And you've, listener, I hope you've taken some notes of people that you want to invite to the show. And we've gone through kind of the background. I want to, in our next show, dig into like nuts and bolts. So in our next show, let's talk about the methodology. Does that sound good?
Perfect.
Excellent.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. How will you bring this system to your community and say hello to new careers and goodbye to low-wage jobs? For more episodes, visit hellocareers.org or send us a note to podcast@hellocareers.org. We'd love to hear from you with questions or success stories of how apprenticeship is working in your region. Till next time, I'm Mark Sylvester with Hello Careers.